Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged, coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
From movingtoorlando.com, realtor Drake Shadwell.
Hey, everybody.
And, of course, our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Oh,
I remember to, you know, yes, recognize my producer when we're doing the live show. We did 8 shows yesterday between DVC and Moving to Orlando, and I think in every single one in the middle of the show, I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot to introduce Craig.
It was only like 3. But
was it?
Yeah, it was like 3 in a row, though. So
let me be hyperbolic. we got a lot to talk about today, but there's some stuff I want to just talk about first in the beginning. And I always forget to do this. Please do us a favor. Help us out. Hit that thumbs up. You're watching us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. That really helps us out a lot with YouTube. Okay? So there, I remember to say. I also wanted to talk about the success of our Diz family reunion. This is the first live show I think we're doing since then. It was an incredible experience for me. I'm assuming we all had an amazing time. We also raised $230,000 off
awesome.
The auction for Give Kids the World.
That's incredible.
So that was phenomenal. And Stephen Amos from Give Kids the World has asked me to let everyone know that those of you that had put in on the raffles for our cruises, for the podcast cruise next year, and for that incredibly generous gift that Sean Falk made of that Adventures by Disney Backstage Magic trip, winners are going to be contacted this week. It's going through their law firm, and apparently there was a hiccup or they're backed up. I don't know, but it's being done. And I really do want to give Sean a special shout out for that donation. That was a personal donation of his. That was not from Moving to Orlando or, you know, me or anything else. It was a personal donation of his. Raised over $50,000
wow.
just with that. So a quarter of what was raised in the auction came from that one gift from Sean. And so I wanted to give him a shout out, and I'm also going to give him a plug. If you're looking to move to the Central Florida area and you want an awesome realtor, Sean, S-E-A-N, at movingtoorlando.com. I figure, you know, raising 50 grand, I'll throw his email out there. But that was an awfully nice gift, even if you just want to say thank you to Sean. Also, a reminder to everyone that right after this show, we'll be doing our special Patreon after show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. If you want to join that group of people, patreon.com/DizUnplugged is where you can sign up. And we're going to give you another reason to join us on Patreon, because we did something a little different. What night was that?
Oh, no. I think that was 2 or 3 nights ago.
Two or three nights ago. Something yeah. I've been talking about doing for a while. Oh, and by the way, in case you weren't paying attention, this was – they shaved my head at the live show we did at Give Kids the World, because last year I said if we raised a certain amount of money, I'd shave my head. And it can't grow fast enough for me right now, because I hate it. I hate it. But it was done.
That's distinct.
I kept my promise, albeit – you know, a year later, but I kept my promise. But anyway, so the other night, something I'd wanted to do for a long time on Patreon, just for fun, was stream us playing Disney video games. And we had a blast. We had a blast, and the audience tuned in, really seemed to enjoy it. We had a lot of fun. So Drake and I were bouncing around some ideas, and we've decided we're going to make it a regular thing. Every Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. But we're gonna add a little twist to it. While Drake...
You're going to play for money?
Drake, yeah. Okay. While Drake is playing video games, because I was enjoying engaging with everybody, I thought, you know what? Let's kind of make it like a podcast-y type thing and talk about trip planning. If you have questions you want me to answer about a trip you have coming up, if you want to talk about DVC, if you want to talk about... moving to Orlando, if you want to talk about anything really. So we're going to kind of do a hybrid game stream podcast. And I'm really excited about it. I don't know why I'm so excited about it, but I really am. We had a good time. We were playing Mickey's Castle of Illusion on the
that
Xbox 360.
That game is way harder than I initially thought it was going to be. Like, I expected it just to be kind of like a Disney fluff game, and I was there were multiple parts where I was struggling. And I'm pretty okay at video games, and I was struggling.
Yeah, that's why I played for about 5 minutes. And handed the controller to him. I'm like, "Hey, you do it." So originally I was going to do it, but I'm like, "Meh, no."
You can tune in Sundays. Kevin and I play spades and make fun of the people in our neighborhood. So I thought that would be a really good show too.
Can we step back just a second? I'd also like to say thank you to the Mayorini family.
Mm.
They were extremely generous, and I just wanted to acknowledge.
Yeah,
that.
Very generous donation. A very, very generous donation they made to give kids the world right after Pam's introduction of the event.
Which
from what I understand, she, cause I wasn't in there. When I understand she went, Stephen Amos put it, she went full nuclear and she had everybody in the room in tears.
These folks are generous every year. This year they were exceptionally generous.
Okay. And we're going to talk about some other, we got to talk about, Remy's Ratatouille. We got to talk about the opening of Space 220, which Denny had a chance to preview yesterday. But I want to talk about a couple of experiences I've had in the last week that really, really stood out to me. First, the first one was the night of our after-hours event at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I had picked up some credentials for some friends that I was waiting for. And I was outside Hollywood Studios, and I get a call from Denny, who tells me that Tony Baxter and two of his friends are being escorted out of the park because Tony forgot his credentials and his friends didn't have them. I'm like, oh, my God. So made some phone calls, got the credentials for them, met them outside the park, had a lovely talk with Tony Baxter. And while I'm talking to him, and like, you know, and it's, of course, I'm like trying not to like freak out that I'm talking to Tony Baxter. This thing came into my head. For every Bob Chapek in Disney, there's a Tony Baxter. There's a Tony Baxter. Think about what that man has contributed. Just him, you know, as head of Imagineering, what he contributed to Disney. And so much of his work is admired, loved, and revered by Disney fans. And I'm like, okay, that's an interesting, yeah, for every, because, you know, and even though Tony Baxter's retired, I'll tell you right now, Imagineering is lousy with talent and passionate, creative people who are trying everything they can to make the experiences we have in these parks worthwhile.
I love that he answered a question I've had for 100 years. Why is the soundtrack to Hello, Dolly playing on Main Street?
What was his answer?
Because the Imagineers were fascinated by the way they created Main Street America, not only on the stage, but in the movie. And they were inspired by that. So they've added the music to Hello Dolly on the Main Street experience.
I just thought like they were all gay.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but Main Street and singing Put On Your Sunday Clothes, and I know all the words.
Backwards and
I couldn't figure out why it was playing in a Disney park, but I was very excited to have that answer.
Well, I figured it had something to do with, you know, the motif of the movie.
It was their recreation of Main Street America, and they were fascinated by it.
So then we were doing, and this review is going to come out probably next week. We were doing a dining review in Kona Cafe. And we had a server by the name of Macarena. And yes, we all started.
Hey, Macarena.
Yeah, you just got it. Good. And I still can't put my finger on this. There was something about this woman that was so special she was a wonderful server, but there was something about her personality. I felt like we were being welcomed into her home. And I'm not being, I'm not overselling this. It's exactly how it felt. She took ownership and pride in her restaurant. She was just lovely. I don't know a better word. I gave this woman the biggest tip I've ever left in my life. And I'm a decent tipper. Because it was so outstanding. The meal was not. It wasn't bad. But Kona Cafe should have a tagline, hit or miss. Because sometimes it's phenomenal. Sometimes it's awful. But Macarena, she's there most nights. She works the dinner shift. And I wanted to put her name out there. And if you are over by the Poly, if you're planning to go to Kona Cafe, ask for her. She was everything you want a cast member to be. And it reminded me that Disney is full of cast members like that. And I thought to myself, for every Bob Chapek, there's a Macarena. And I think the reason this line of train of thought struck me is that, you know, legitimately, a lot of us are upset with things that are being taken away, with prices that are increasing, experiences that haven't come back or aren't coming back. And it reminded me of one of the main reasons I fell in love with Disney in the first place, was experiences with cast members like that. Experiences with attractions created by the likes of Tony Baxter. And I'm not saying that we look the other way on the things that are wrong, but it reminded me to keep in balance. It's not all bad. It's not all bad. And to focus, make sure that for every complaint I'm making, I'm also remembering that. Just to be fair. Just to be realistic and honest. Because those complaints, you know, we talked about Memory Maker coming off the annual passes being mean. And I still feel that way. But I also want to also pay attention to what makes it special, to what makes it absolutely extraordinary. And I want to go out of my way to look for that as much as I can. Sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes you sit down for dinner at a middling restaurant and you get a cast member like Macarena that's like blows you away. Reminded me of the old days. So if you're over at the Kona Cafe, you need to ask for her. And brace yourself for the meal. It's 6 to 5 in Pick'em. But the service from that woman, the experience with her, phenomenal. So I wanted to make sure I got that out. So what do we want to talk? You know what? Let's talk about Space 220 because I'm dying to hear what this experience was like, Denny.
Well, it was a little bit of what you've already been saying, Pete, like just, it's a bit of Disney magic is what it is. And I know, at first, I just want to say right off the bat that, I was there on behalf of Disney and the Patina Group. So thank you very much to both for the invite to come out to the grand opening. It was.
So in other words, she didn't pay for the meal.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And something I thoroughly explained in my review from yesterday. So if you watch that, you get, I say it several times just to be sure. It was so much fun just to step into that space finally. And, to get to, it's more of an experience than maybe some other restaurants are. So if you're looking for food above all else, as far as food quality is concerned, the food quality isn't the forerunner here. It's really the environment. It's the experience. As soon as you approach the host stand, you are ushered into a lobby downstairs and told to wait in a certain location. And then you are ushered into their space elevator, Stellevator, and you begin the ascent to the ascent. I did a lot of air quotes in my review because it's all hypothetical. You're not really some. I love the person in the comments who asked if my ears pop, because that's it. That's what you, they are selling it. They are selling the fact that you are supposedly going up into space.
220 miles on an elevator.
Yes, exactly. And you get to watch the whole thing as you go up. And then you're ushered into the space itself. The dining room of this dining location is gorgeous. You enter the room, and it is this grand expanse of windows that are in front of you that overlook the earth. Different things and people are floating by outside of the windows.
As you do.
We are told.
And the people floating by aren't screaming for their
lives?
No,
they're not. They haven't been shoved out of a spaceship or anything like that.
Is this like The Witch and the Wizard of Oz?
Yes. No.
Like on the bicycle?
No, Mrs. Gulch is not riding by in the tornado. But we were told by an Imagineer before we got onto the elevator that we could see people, possibly other tourists, floating by, because there are others who are here for longer than we will be. We've signed up for a meal. We're there and then we're gone. Others are staying for quite a while. And so, as I was sitting at the table, there was a tourist who floated by who took a picture of the earth and took a picture of himself. It was a selfie, and he gives us a thumbs up, which is just the cutest thing. But they've also incorporated like the vehicle for Mission Space. The X2 space shuttle comes floating by, satellites. It is quite an experience to sit in that restaurant and eat. Now, the food, granted, it's just a broad brush kind of moment that I had yesterday. You know how media events are. They got to get you in. They got to get you the food. They got to get you out because the paying customers are coming in behind you. And so I sat down. I asked what the most unique thing was on the menu, and I was pointed in the direction of the Blue House salmon, which was the thing that I initially had my eye on. So I was really excited about that. It comes covered in a glass dome. The dome is lifted and smoke, you know, kind of wafts through the air. It's a very smoky dish.
Yeah, there's a lot of sleight of hand to distract from the fact that the food is probably crappy.
That you're in the space coral reef?
Right. Essentially, Kevin, that is, and others have made that comment.
Space coral reef.
Comments. Yes. Others have kind
I
of
apologize.
That.
I have told you many, many times.
Yes.
I do not have a science fiction brain. Star Wars, Harry Potter, they are all lost on me. You lost me at the space elevator.
This is strictly imagination. You can believe that 19-year-old Barbara Streisand is Dolly Levi,
yes,
but you cannot believe that an elevator takes you up to space.
Yes, I can believe that.
But the space elevator is a bridge too far.
The space elevator?
Right. Okay.
If he was Hermes at the top of the space elevator, he'd be fine with it.
I've climbed higher mountains. And people floating by.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's just...
See, that sounds fascinating.
I think that sounds so cool and so much fun.
It is super, super cool. Now, at lunch, it's going to cost you $55 for adults. At dinner, $79 for adults. You actually get a dessert. So it's an entree, an app, and a dessert at dinner. And then at lunch, you just get the appetizer and the entree, and that's it.
And these are prefix menus.
Yes, prefix menus. There's a huge lounge area. So as soon as you walk into the restaurant, you'll see that all of the tables to your left and then out front are all have a black colored top to them. All the tables on the right are all white topped tables. Those are all lounge tables. So over at the lounge, and the bartending team was so kind yesterday because I just stopped over and asked a few questions. They said that they've got their own unique lounge menu, but you can also get the fixed price menu if you choose to dine at the lounge.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is this a set seating for a show, or is it a continuous dining?
Continuous dining. So as we left and vacated our tables, they were bringing others who were in the standby line.
So the space show, quote unquote, is continuous.
It is. Gotcha. It's there's not a beginning and an end to it, so you can kind of come and go at will.
Can I see the menu?
Absolutely. Yes. This is the lunch menu and then the kids menu. One drink I had, because I don't drink alcohol, I had one of their zero proof cocktails, and it's called the Moon Rocks, and I had so much fun with it. It comes an entire packet of Pop Rocks, and it is cotton candy syrup and lemonade and coconut and then
insulin.
Yes, and insulin on the side, but it was delightful.
Put the Pop Rocks in it?
You put the Pop Rocks in it. I did. Another server told a neighboring table, pour a few in your mouth, then chug the drink. I said, no, we're dumping the whole thing in, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And Kevin, I mean, come on. How can you say no to Space Getty?
Well, and that's the...
Is that the kids' menu?
Yes, it's not the kids' menu.
Or Mission Macaroni?
That's the thing. Now, granted, that's the kids' menu, Pete, but some of the...
No, they had me at Space Getty.
Yes. Some of the titles on the adult menu are
Big
still
Big Bang Burrata.
And I had that, and it was pretty good. The Romesco sauce on it. Very nice.
Space greens.
Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't, like, they don't need to have the option for like the dried ice cream. Like actual astronaut food.
So,
I would be really excited for an MRE.
Drake, I wanted the quote unquote astronaut ice cream so badly. It is involved in a cocktail. So there is a cocktail that utilizes astronaut ice cream. I know that's not the official technical title, but as a kid who grew up at the National Air and Space Museum on Saturdays, I wanted that astronaut ice cream so badly. But it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, the naming conventions for these foods make me throw up a little in my mouth.
Yeah,
I won't lie.
But come on. This is an extension of Galaxy's Edge, where everything is themed for that. I think it's great.
Well, you also got to remember it's a kid's park.
No, but I'm saying Galaxy's Edge has theming for Star Wars. Yeah, this has theming for space. Yeah,
I mean, I had a viewer stop and ask me. He was in line, and he said, okay, is this worth me waiting for? And he said he loves the grand openings. He and his wife are really excited about things like that. I said, yes, you go for the experience. The food kind of takes the back seat, or at least it is right now. The roasted fingerling potato side. I know you really like salt, Pete. These were the saltiest potatoes I had ever tasted in my life. So,
really?
Yes. I think even you might have a problem with that, with those potatoes. So,
well,
skip the potatoes.
I'm not a big potato guy to begin with.
Okay.
But, I mean, you smother it in salt. You know, you got my attention at least.
Yeah, these were... It's dripping in it. So I'm hoping they back off on the salt on those potatoes just a little bit.
I can tell you, I think that this might be one of those places where you find something that you'll enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like, everything on the menu doesn't appeal to me, but there's some stuff that sounds great.
Yep.
And the flat iron steak that has the space rub, I thought that was something they did in the space spa.
Make it stop. Just make it stop.
Salt scrub. Well, and there's a filet on the menu at night. So the dinner service, you actually get some higher end entrees. Some
for $80, I can go to Bull and Bear.
Yes, yeah. So it is.
And let's be honest, this is Patina Group, which you know at one point had a great reputation in terms of the food in their restaurants, and in the last, I'd say, the last 10 years, it's kind of gone the Kona Cafe route of, you know, hit or miss.
I'm not against theming. I swear I'm not. I would go to a Downton Abbey restaurant and take the space elevator. but this it does not appeal to me at all because I don't have that level of imagination. What was that movie we watched with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock where he flies around the Earth and she found him on the other side?
That's a great movie. But I'm not going to give spoilers, but... No, there's another.
Right. And I really said to him, it's not what it seems.
Yeah. So, but I won't give spoilers in case you haven't seen Gravity. If you haven't seen Gravity, watch it.
It's been like 10 years. If you haven't, you're probably not going to watch it.
But I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by this restaurant. And I'm intrigued to go do a proper paying review of it. I know we have reservations made. I forgot what date, but
I have reservations.
Stand
too.
by. Stand by. I'm hearing the standby line for this restaurant is up to 3 hours long.
Yes.
And no. I mean, I want to try it, but.
Nice part is they did start using a virtual queue because yesterday everyone was just standing outside in line, which is absolutely ridiculous.
It really was. I walked out of the restaurant at 12:15 and there's just a massive throng of people. And the leader I spoke to said it was all the way back to Test Track and they were booked through November. Like, this was and hot and sweaty. It was a hot day yesterday. So the poor people who had to wait, but
especially
this is
if standing there until November.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, this is an experience, and we've often wondered, you know, is it worth it to dine in Cinderella's Castle if the food isn't exactly what you want it to be?
Here's my thing. I am up to here fed up with Disney doing these over the top themes as a distraction to the fact that the food sucks. I mean, this
I'm
is
not
what they
sure
did.
This was that though.
This okay. Well, okay. Maybe I'm jumping the gun on Space 220, okay. But I'm not on the Beauty and the Beast.
Be Our Guest.
Be Our Guest.
Yeah.
Cinderella's Royal Table. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their excuse is with Hollywood and Vine, but you know,
bad atmosphere and bad food.
Yeah. It costs just as much to make bad food as it does to make good food.
And so, but this is a common theme. And I remember the original, I said this recently, I think it was even on a dining review. The original review I gave of Be Our Guest was the food was excellent, but I was very afraid that Disney was going to do what Disney does and says, let's make more money on this by cutting back on the quality, cutting that nobody, you know, well, we can get away with serving crappy food because people want to eat in the castle. And they didn't disappoint.
This is true of Planet Hollywood, too. This had a theme. Would you go to Planet Hollywood now?
The last time I was at Planet Hollywood, it was actually very good.
The 80s?
It was surprising.
The slide.
No, it was like you know, year before the world caught fire. So it was, cool. You know, in the last few years. But
I love the theme. The food has to be worth it.
Agreed.
You're paying $80 for a dinner. The food has to be worth paying $80 for. Yep. Otherwise, all the theming in the world doesn't make up for food that's... middling?
What worries me is that usually for media events...
They're bringing out the best.
They're bringing out their A game.
Yeah.
And if you're saying that even free, this stuff was... Okay. That gives me concern. But, you know, I'll wait till I actually go have the experience myself before I judge it.
Yeah, yeah.
This menu, looking at this menu now, I just did a cursory glance at it. But it doesn't, there's nothing there that strikes me as, oh, wow, this is going to bring me back. I can get a filet and fingerling potatoes at almost any steakhouse. So there has to be something. It might be the elevator, but there has to be...
you don't have Space-a-roni?
Space-getty.
Oh, Space-getty.
No. But it doesn't strike me
as... The
minute
I saw Space-getty, I thought, Kevin.
It doesn't strike me as a menu. Like, there are restaurants, I know what I'm going to order before I leave home.
Definitely.
And I always think, I'm going to try something new, and I get there, and I think, oh, no, I'm going to have the thing I love. This doesn't strike me as this is going to have that kind of following, but I could be wrong.
We're prejudging.
It is a gorgeous space. It is unlike what we have on property right now, and it was pretty darn near breathtaking to step into it. And to get to be there, you knew it was special. I would definitely love some of the food to take a step up. We'll see. Again, it was just a cursory glance at that menu. So I can't wait to see what the team thinks when they go. There have been in the comments, some people have said maybe the space elevator ride would be prohibitive for them visiting. Know that the elevator is not something you have to look up and over a ledge to see all the video. And it's amazing if you want to see it. But if you don't, you can absolutely stand toward the outside, look straight ahead. It really doesn't. It kind of moves. There's movement to the cabin, but nothing that's going to shake you around.
Is this a Living
terribly.
Seas elevator that doesn't
it
actually...
It is a hydrolator.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't really go anywhere?
Yes.
This is Disney magic. So let's take it as that.
Well, if people are, you know,
it's really cool.
About an elevator.
Afraid of heights or
something. You're not really going anywhere.
No, and it's a large space. That space elevator is pretty large. So,
all right.
Yeah. So that's
I'm excited. I am excited to try it out, to see it. Just for no other reason than we've been talking about it for like, I don't know, 19 years now.
Yes.
I would like to be proven wrong.
There you go.
I would like this to be a destination restaurant. Mm.
Well, it's going to do well regardless. Mm-hmm. It's just going to, you know, but we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. Now, on to something more, better.
More better.
More better.
Remy's Ratatouille ride. I had the chance to do it in Paris last time I was in Paris, Disneyland Paris. And I loved it there, and I loved it again. Who hated it? Craig, do you hate it?
No, I don't hate it. Rhino hated it. I just think it's a good, solid, middle-of-the-line attraction. It's not Rise of the Resistance, but it's also not the carousel.
I think that's the problem we have right now. Yeah. The problem we have right now is we have Rise, and we have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And it's the same ride mechanism. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of not that surprise like it was when we went to Disneyland Paris. It was the first time we saw it.
Exactly. I was blown away in Disneyland Paris. Right. And now I'm like, in my opinion, of the three trackless dark rides, it's my least favorite that we have
here. See, and I'm not going to compare this to Rise of the Resistance or even Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. I was really happy they left a lot of the French dialogue in. Keep it authentic to the original. Keep it authentic to the attraction. But I loved it. I loved it when I did it in Paris. I loved it when I did it here. I think it's a wonderful addition to that pavilion.
I think the space they created around it is incredible.
So great.
It's lovely.
And the crêperie, you know, is I haven't tried it yet, but it
gets great reviews from everybody.
It's getting great reviews. And so I think it's a wonderful addition to Epcot in general, France, the France Pavilion in particular. I loved it. And poor Rhino, you know, I don't know what happened to him. That
he's a broken toy.
Bless his heart. Love that Rhino. Love him.
I understand anyone who doesn't necessarily care for it. It is like, because there are elements of it that I think they could have fixed from the Paris version. Like the fact that in the large rooms that are only screens, I feel like the way it's like kind of aimed is that you see so much of the ground in front of you. And then you're like, oh, and then this big screen, it kind of takes you out of the experience a little bit. So I get why people might not love it as much as other people do. And then it also comes down. Do you love the movie? And
I don't.
My gosh.
But I love the ride. It's my favorite.
Wow.
Can I make a confession?
You've never seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Pete.
I've never been to Huck Finn Island or whatever it's called. So there we're even.
Tom Sawyer. Oh, you have to watch it.
I have to watch it. I do. So, you know, I'm not liking the ride because it harkens back to an emotional experience watching the movie. I like the ride.
Mm-hmm. And can't you see the floor in Rise of the Resistance?
Yeah, but it's you're not looking at video screens, so it clearly has a point on the floor where it just stops. So it's really a minor thing, but at the same time, too, depending on, like, when you're on the side rats, because they're sitting in the room three across. When you're on the ones on the side, and then you're looking at the other people in the room with you, and then also looking at so much of the floor, it's something. I don't know how they would fix it. I'm not an Imagineer, but
I have refigured out what my superpower is. Every time I go to Galaxy's Edge, Rise of the Resistance goes down. This is my superpower.
You have powers. Dark side. I love Ratatouille. Remy's my favorite Disney character. And so to be able, and like I said
more
it
more than Stitch.
More than Stitch? Oh yes. I mean, I love Lilo and Stitch. I do, but Ratatouille, just the coppery, beautiful color palette that they used for that movie is so enchanting. And so to step into that, the pavilion expansion and to step into Remy's Paris for me as a huge fan was amazing. It was everything I wanted it to be. Yes. And the attraction does suffer by comparison with Rise of the Resistance. So that's why you have to go, okay, this is a different attraction than Rise.
And if you, I mean, that should be obvious.
I'm not comparing ride to ride. What I'm saying is we've seen that ride technology, so it's not as wow factor anymore. Mm-hmm. However, Remy is so immersive, and they do such a great job with the props being there and the physical nature of what happens to you.
But that's like comparing It's a Small World and Pirates because they both have boats.
True. Yeah, very true.
Exactly.
Right. It makes Epcot stronger.
Epcot needed a really strong ride like Remy, coming into it. I'm so glad they put it in the France Pavilion for that exact reason.
Well, there's no other place they could. Yeah. I mean, really.
They couldn't
no other
make
place.
It Mexican.
Yeah. No. But I want to broaden the discussion because all, you know, these things, Space 220 and Remy's are really, you know, was part of a push for the 50th anniversary, which is almost upon us. You know, we're also waiting for the Neutron coaster over in the Magic Kingdom, Guardians of the Galaxy, in Future World at Epcot, getting ready to open hopefully soon. Let me come to you, Drake. What are you looking forward to? What would you like to see? What are you excited about?
This is complete rumor mill. Not even like, I'm excited for entertainment to come back. If the timing works out and we get a day parade out of Magic Kingdom, I would love a new one, of course. But even if they just brought Festival of Fantasy back, that's what I love. That's my magic of Disney. Seeing
and just for your sake, Drake was a cast member, worked in entertainment.
Weren't we all?
Has a lot.
Sorry, doesn't make you special.
But you weren't swing thug. You weren't a swing thug.
Well, it's why I love the parades.
Like a swing pug
on the
thug. Not pug.
You know the big swinging things
like
in the parade and the guys that ride on them and he did that.
You were a thug on a swing?
Thug, big massive beard, horn.
I couldn't figure out what a swing pug was. Okay.
Wish I could have been a swing pug. If they would have put me in a pug costume and had me do the exact same thing, I probably would have, I would have liked that even more.
But you also have a lot of friends in entertainment and you hear things.
I do. But I also hear things filtered through the hopes and dreams of those performers hoping to get back onto Main Street. So this isn't, you asked me what I hope to see. You asked me what I'm excited for. So what I hope to see is entertainment to come back. But what I'm excited for is probably that Tron ride. And I'm okay with the movie. Like I like it. Okay. I'm more excited because I've never experienced it before. And it's a ride that I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not in any of the parks.
Yes,
correct?
It is.
Which one is it in?
Is it Shanghai?
Tokyo.
Shanghai.
It's Shanghai.
We were in Shanghai and several of the people rode it. And I can tell you that most of them came off with the experience that this was much more of a roller coaster experience than any place at Disney.
And that's what I like roller coasters. We were actually talking the other day about how much I like SeaWorld because their coasters are coasters. They're not the...
And Universal as well. This is something Disney needs.
Yeah.
And I think they're getting that with Tron. They're getting that with Guardians of the Galaxy, I hope.
What's cool about Tron is it's not a normal roller coaster. You're not sitting in a car side by side. It's a really cool concept.
It's one of those things that I always wonder how many of the average guests even know what Tron is. I mean, Tron hasn't been a popular movie in quite a while.
Yeah.
So it's like they've made a...
It wasn't a popular movie. It was released.
Another confession, I've never seen it. I used to play the little bit video game in bars, but that's my experience.
With Disney taking on that coaster feel, with Disney doing a coaster, I'm beyond excited because Disney does theming so well. Disney does the environment so well. We've talked about that with Space 220. We talked about that.
It's a roller coaster in space, so you're going to have to take an elevator.
Oh, thank you. I was worried that I have those, my ears pop really easily. So thank you for that heads up. I'll make sure to take my Dramamine.
And one of the cool things is it's an inside outside coaster. Mm. So it goes in the building, but it also comes back out. So it's got a really cool aesthetic. So. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have some cool stuff coming up. I'm looking forward to the 50th. We've got a full schedule for the 50th. But also, I think it's worth mentioning that it was announced yesterday that in November, the United States is lifting travel restrictions for international guests who are fully vaccinated, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic for Disney fans in other parts of the world. Fantastic for us in terms of our economy. We miss you. Our businesses miss you. We miss you. And so I think that's good news for, you know, I got some of my friends in the UK, who are like, you know, we want to come for the 50th. And now they're going to be able to.
Can I just step back to Tron for 1 second? Mm-hmm. That's not a really well-lit, bright part of the park. That's going to draw people in because Tron is spectacular at night. Yeah. Ooh, at least the one in Shanghai.
Yeah.
Some great
Right. It is a spectacular, just from outside, it's spectacular to look at. So that's going to lighten that part of the park up.
And I'm sorry.
Well, and we've been talking a lot about capacity on a couple of other shows about how they're managing it, about wait lines and things like that. And something I've always felt and I've always said is that if they're going to be letting more people in, I mean, with the international, you know, guests being able to come back, you have to increase the things that people can do. And a lot of people have been giving those same complaints of without entertainment, without a lot of the places open that you would traditionally go to, the crowds are more noticeable. Even if they are pulling capacity back right now, they're giving us Remy. They're giving us Tron. They're giving us, like, all these things are coming and might be helping with, okay, our capacity is going up and the things we can do are going up.
The other thing we have to talk about is the opening of Creations. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure we get that in here. The new store in Epcot with a lot of merchandise. At my current, the joke I made coming in the studio, at my current weight, I'm going as Spaceship Earth for Halloween, hence the shirt. Amazing, amazing, amazing merchandise in this store. I was, and she's at it again. I swear to God, she hasn't mowed that goddamn lawn. I'm sorry. She hasn't mowed that lawn in like 100 years, and she waits for today.
It's your lucky day.
I'm looking forward to mobile ordering requirements going away.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's not.
No.
It's never going
to happen. So you have to decide at 9 o'clock that you want to eat at 2:30?
No, it's not that stressy. It's all right.
We've had
that
experience.
It's not that bad right now.
We've had that experience.
But anyway, back to Creations. I just want to talk a little more about Creations. First of all, for that opening, that place was a zoo. Mm-hmm. And those cast members had their stuff together and in one bag. They knew what they were doing. You know, even what appeared to be long lines, they seem to be getting people in and out really quick. And, you know, a lot of people were like me, where I'm like just grabbing stuff. They had like 4 bags when I walked out of there. And I still didn't buy enough. I have to go back. I have to go back. I thought they did a brilliant job.
Yeah. Is the retro Disney stuff out yet?
Say it again?
Is the retro Disney stuff out yet?
What we saw at Creation Shop was a lot of retro-ish Epcot things. Now, some of the 50th celebration, like we saw reusable bags in the parks yesterday, which was really cool. So some of the extra little iridescent things are starting to...
I'm not interested in that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the stuff. They said they were going to release stuff that was released during the opening year. I'm interested in that.
That would be amazing.
Well, I got one of the Spaceship Earth looking backpacks. I get so many, like, off Disney property. I'm getting so many compliments on it. People are like, where'd you get that? At what?
What cracks me up is you have so many bags. Like, you buy a lot of very nice, like,
is there anything wrong with that?
No, that's not what I'm saying. But he buys very designer, like, designer up.
Oh, the audience knows who I am.
Exactly.
We've met.
Now, I want the audience to guess which of his bags he wears to the parks, out, anything, what bag he uses the most. It is the Epcot bag from Disney, from Epcot Creations, over every other bag that he has.
That's right now. It's good stuff to Epcot.
Bags are accessories. You choose, you know, based on your mood, based on where you're going. It's a great, I love the bag. I love
it. Yeah, it's really cute. They had a silver version of it. So my husband and I stopped by. I want to say it was Thursday. So that was what?
Hold on, Tuesday.
So they have a silver edition.
Hold on,
of it
switch
now.
To Craig so I can.
Okay, I will. Denny, before I let you say your piece
fine.
I don't understand how they completely changed up this shop, but it still smells like diapers inside there. It is disgusting.
That was like the second thing out of your mouth when we walked into the space. It was so great.
Literally, they put on a great, they put makeup all over it, but they couldn't get rid of the smell. I don't know who's buried under it.
The diaper smell and Creations.
That's because the bags are made of diapers.
There you go.
I don't know. I didn't notice diaper smell, but look
how
cool that is. Look how cool that is. Nice size, holds a lot. It's a nice bag. Forgot how much it was. I didn't care. I was just like grabbing stuff.
Looks like an Issey Miyake bow bag, but I'm the only one here that's going to recognize that. It's like the little hand tags on it. Those are
so
cool.
Cute. It's not as the physical space itself isn't as highly themed as like Mouse Gear was. But it's also, they blew out the walls of it. I mean, it's completely different. They've built
Mouse
it from
Gear's
the ground
had
up.
That weird L
exactly.
shape to it.
We don't have that happening. There's no dog leg to this store anymore. It's pretty much one big run. But they have added floor to ceiling windows, which lets in this gorgeous natural light, which anything looks better in natural light. Mm-hmm. And so it is. It's very bright. It's happy. It's upbeat. And where they've chosen to put pops of color is really aesthetically pleasing. It's nice.
Does it look like what's the big store in Disney Springs?
World of Disney.
World of Disney. Mm-hmm. They opened that all up, too, and
it's different.
Is it?
It has a lighter color
palette.
Made it feel
like a Disney Target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all very white inside. And then the merchandise headers, that's where you'll bring in the color. They have backlit. All the merchandise racks, a lot of them are backlit. So you've got color showing that way. It's nice.
It was, I really liked it. Yeah. I thought it had a great feel, had a great look. Mm-hmm. Love the merchandise they put out. A lot of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see this. I'm glad to see these new things that are fun and cool, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just glad to be spending a show talking about that, right? Talking about the good stuff, talking about, you know, as I said at the start of the show, trying to find some balance with some of the things that are going on right now.
I'm looking forward to Epcot being done.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. I think we're almost there. We're in the home stretch here. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the 50th. I really am. I'm very excited about it. That's what I've got. I don't know if you guys have anything.
I'm celebrating my 50th with Disney too.
There you go.
50th year of going to the park.
Yep. That's right. You were there. It's opening year.
In December of 71.
Wow. We've got a couple things we want to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about Podcast Cruise. We're calling it Podcast Cruise 2022. It's actually Podcast Cruise 7, mm-hmm. May of 2022. We're doing a 4-night cruise out of Port Canaveral. We're hoping everybody joins us.
Prices are incredible.
Yeah, really good pricing. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you go to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, at the top of our homepage, there's going to be a link. That'll take you to more information, including pricing. And also there'll be a button with how to get a quote. So we're really excited about that. That's starting to come along. We wanted to make sure we got it out early enough so people could start to book it. You know, that's a complaint we get a lot of people is they didn't have time to do it. So
yeah, telling them in April that we're doing it in May is probably a bad idea. So from a marketing perspective, it leaves something to be desired.
We usually roll. But I just want to let people know that we're excited about that. But, you know, make sure you book early. You have to book through Dreams Unlimited Travel to get to invited to any of the things we do. We don't know what those things are going to be yet, but we usually put on some.
We're working on some stuff. Yeah. We're definitely working on some stuff. Stuff I'm excited about.
But you have to book through us to do it. You can't just be on the cruise and say, I want to show up.
I'd like to talk for just a minute about John and I bought a investment property in Cape May, New Jersey, and we are going up just after the 50th anniversary, and we're going to work with a contractor to upgrade it. We have to have the Golden Girls removed. But,
why?
Well,
it's a little old-fashioned.
It is. So we're going to just modernize it a little bit. But if you're interested, you can write to John or I, and we're renting for next summer.
Were you going to talk about the party we did? The event we did
during our last week, our was our training week. There was a party. We were told that there was an evening party, and because I live with John, I was aware of some of the details. And I was told it was going to be a haunted mansion party. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit jaded when it comes to Disney. I've seen some cool stuff. But I was expecting, you know, I didn't go in there expecting what actually happened. It's very rare that I can tell you that I am blown away by something Disney does on this scale. I expected that the waiters were going to be dressed up as Haunted Mansion characters or something. I did not expect them to recreate a room from the Haunted Mansion. The level of detail was spectacular. The level of entertainment. They had the organist from the Haunted Mansion playing Haunted Mansion music when we went in, and then he played Haunted Mansion versions of
everything.
Frozen.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Let it go. It's a small world got the Haunted Mansion treatment. Mm-hmm. And we found out, if any of you went on the podcast, Jody Benson had an accompanist. And it was him.
That was him?
That was Christoph.
Yeah. Oh.
I didn't know about it until after he was playing. And I went to say, you did a great job. We loved it. And then I realized it was Christoph.
Oh, wow.
So, and there was a fortune teller and there was a butler. And they were beyond entertaining. And I did not know that this department, this group, even existed. It's
Disney Event Services.
Disney Meetings and Events.
That they'll do this. Like, people hire them apparently for, like, you know, we're going to do a big birthday party or a big anniversary party. And now look, you this is not on the cheap by any stretch of the imagination. No. The party they threw for us, we didn't have to pay for it. But it was like $45,000 for 30 plus people. And I mean, that's a real number, but the theming, the food, but the theming and the entertainment was first.
The food was to me, you're talking about, you know, the food being, not as important in space 2020.
220.
I think I had Barbara Walters in mind. What was I most retreated?
The food.
The food was secondary. Mm-hmm. The food was secondary. Now, this group, you're only limited by your imagination. You can.
They'll do whatever you want.
They'll do things in parks. They will do in-park experiences. Now, something you have to keep in mind is if that you want to throw a party in the Magic Kingdom, it's going to happen at midnight.
Or you want to be in a ride. One of the things they'll do
it's going to be after hours.
They've done dinners inside the Haunted Mansion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had things like that.
We had a dinner inside the Great Movie Ride
one
time.
Yes, we did. That was phenomenal. That was a Tables in Wonderland event.
Yep. But it was that group. So you are only limited. I'm working with someone now who's looking for something in January. Now, I've had to explain that in-park experiences won't be available because they need about a year to put that space aside. But they are able to put together almost anything you want.
They did this event. They turned part of a convention space in the boardwalk into the library of the Haunted Mansion.
complete with fireplace and portrait and bookcases upon bookcases.
It was amazing.
It was.
We stayed a little bit after. John was talking to somebody. And as soon as you all left, that stuff started going out into the truck.
Well, I saw the truck pull up. As we were leaving, I saw the truck. I'm like, oh, well, they're breaking.
They're done.
And some of the things that we talked about was that what we got was a great event, but there's so much more they can do. We talked about how in other events, they've actually recreated the graveyard, or they brought in the singing busts, or they even did the whole ballroom scene. So, some of the Haunted Mansion, you can also do pirates theme stuff.
She was Pixar talking about stuff. A Mary Poppins theme where you walk in and you're on the rooftops with the chimney sweeps.
And I just want to reiterate to everybody, they can do whatever you want. You are limited only by your imagination and your budget. Mm-hmm. Because it is like anything else with Disney. This comes with a price tag.
But you know what? There are people who want special events. One of the things they told me.
Absolutely.
One of the things they told me was one of their biggest things is vow renewals. When a couple reaches a certain age and they want to renew their vows, that this is something they're willing to spend money on.
And have bat mitzvahs, birthdays.
Yeah, have it be that special event. I'll
do it for my quinceañera.
Okay, for your quinceañera. That's not 60. That's 16.
Oh. Damn it, I was so...
Your Spanish is a little rusty. I went to an Alice in Wonderland themed event that they put on, and it was really cool. Everybody was dressed up. The character was the Mad Hatter, so he was the one who came around and sort of did the jokes with everybody. But they had the doorknob from Alice in Wonderland, and he was interactive. So you would go up to him, and I guess they had someone who told him who you were, because he would say, oh, you're John from Dreams Unlimited Travel. You know, how are things going? He would interact with you on that level. So you're only limited by your imagination.
And your budget.
They were explaining that they had the busts in the library or in the, wherever they are, in the Haunted Mansion. And that when you sat down, they were just the busts. And halfway through your meal, they turned around and they were actually live people who sang to you.
Wow.
That was some cool stuff.
So, Kevin, you said you're working with a client on that. So this is something that agents, right?
Kevin can book.
If you already have a Dreams Unlimited Travel agent, they can help you write to them directly. But if you don't, Kevin at Dreams Unlimited Travel.
Pete said he was interested in the thing. Well, I said, I can book it for you.
And I looked at him and said, I can book it for myself.
Sorry, Kevin.
I'm excited about this. This to me, I don't surprise easily anymore. This surprised me. The quality, the level of detail that went into this, in my mind, was spectacular.
Do they, I mean, you said vow renewals, birthdays, and like everything else. Do they, you didn't mention weddings. Do they
weddings
do
is
weddings?
A separate division of the same place.
That's what I was wondering.
And they'll do all the same stuff. It's just because it's weddings, there's a separate company.
And the weddings are more we can help with weddings. Traditional weddings. They set up those.
I understood that you and John, now you just celebrated 20 years.
20 years,
together.
Yep.
And 18th, to celebrate, they're doing a Star Wars themed vow renewal.
Oh, how lovely.
In space 2020.
2020. The two of you, it's like talking to my mother.
Because he said it.
As long as Barbara Walters is there, that's fine.
So, great. Was great fun.
It was.
I've been told I'm going to stay in the... Space Days Inn, whatever it's called.
Space Days Inn. Galactic Star Cruiser.
Uh-huh.
Hotel Ishtar. I'm that's what I'm calling it. Until I'm proven wrong.
I'm going to get a big brown Shmata and a fleshlight, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. I think your Shmata is a good place to wrap up the show. Again, a reminder for our Patreon supporters, stay tuned. A few minutes after this show, we'll do our Patreon after show. For the rest of you, join Patreon, patreon.com/DizUnplugged. But thanks for being with us, folks. We hope you enjoyed it. We will see you again next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.